You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And we'll continue today with Chapter 5 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1. Let's see here. So this is, we're going to start off with dreams and visions. And so this is Part 2 of Chapter 5. So in this, this will probably take the full 2 hours. So I'll wait to the end of the reading before I even worry about checking my studio. And then if we don't have any guest callers, then I won't worry about bringing anybody on. So, all right. And like I said before, like I have been saying, I'm going to try to do this radio show once a week, or no, once a week, once a day from 3 to 5. I actually forgot to set my alarm today, so I woke up right before the radio show. So I ran downstairs. I put my robe on, ran downstairs to sit in my chair that I like to sit in, and that's where I'm at today. So luckily today is Friday, and I am going to rest because I am tired. All right. Oh, Gifts and Promises of the Priesthood, Part 2 of Chapter 5 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 1, Dreams and Visions. Visions and dreams have constituted a means of communication between God and men in every dispensation of the priesthood. Articles of Faith by James E. Talmage, page 226. There he is. My one-year-old is talking to the puppy. So my 15-year-old actually stayed home today because he was throwing up last night. So he stayed home with the baby instead of the baby going to the babysitters. So we have a little bit of background commotion going on here. But it's kind of funny because my son was like, Arius. And my baby was like running around the house saying, what? What? They're funny. Probably every prophet has enjoyed the gift of dreams. But the Lord mentioned that he could speak in a dream. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, and Job chapter 33, verse 14. He spoke this way to Abimelech, Jacob, Laban, Solomon, Joseph, Pharaoh, Gideon, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, Joseph, the wise men, Pilate's wife, and many others. Indeed, it was meant to be a gift to all Israelites. See Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. The prophet Joseph Smith mentioned dreams that he had, as well as many that he interpreted for others. Brigham Young referred to some he had received, and Heber C. Kimball said he had been blessed with over 100 inspired dreams. Tony Pratt wrote this beautiful explanation, quote, What have dreams not accomplished? Dreams in their interpretation brought the beloved son of Jacob from his dungeon, made him prime minister of Egypt, and the savior of a nation and of his father's house. Dreams and the interpretation of dreams raised a Daniel from slavery regarding the captivity in Babylon to wear a royal chain of gold and to teach royalty how to rule while he himself presided over the governors and presidents for more than 100 provinces. Hold on here. Trying to turn the screen up for the studio so at least I can look at it and make sure it's doing everything it needs to do. Okay, let's see here. Okay. Dreams and the interpretation of dreams have opened the future, pointed out the course of empires throughout all the troublous times of successive ages. Till saints alone shall rule and immortality alone endure. Key to the Science of Theology, 5th edition, Parley P. Pratt. Or was that Orson Pratt? It just says Pratt. I think it's Orson Pratt. That guy was a flipping genius. Anyway, but that's on page 129 of Key to the Science of Theology, which if you can get that book, get that book. That is an awesome book. Really good. And an interesting article on the subject of dreams was published by Elder Joseph Romney in the Millennial Star of 1864. Although it is quite extensive, its logical, historical, and spiritual explanations require a partial reprinting. It is by dreams that God often makes known his mind and will to mankind. In the Holy Scriptures, we find many notable instances of this power or of this gift, in which man, visited in his slumbers by the angels of God, God's presence, has partaken of that spirit of light and intelligence that surrounds him, and has by its aid seen the course of human events and noted the results of human actions, which were long afterwards to be taken place upon the earth. Dreams are of different kinds and are given for various purposes, each true one, however, being applicable to the situation and requirements of the individual receiving it, or of the people about whom it contains directions. Let's see here. Okay. Dreams are great and glorious gifts of God to man, and they are given for his benefit, and his holiest and most deserving servants would not alone, or his holiest and most deserving servants would not alone receive them, or be called upon to interpret them. They are promised, however, by the apostle to all believers in Jesus Christ and are a proof, along with other gifts, to those who receive them that they are indeed believers and that they are in that road which will lead them to salvation. What, Arius? He's like, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Oh, my kids. Oh, let's see here. They are given to strengthen the faith of the individual saint. A good dream from the Spirit of God is very easily told. It will make persons wiser, more humble, and more obedient than they have ever been before. Millennial Star, Volume 26, page 293. Okay. Inspired dreams have often been manifest to the saints of God for their encouragement, guidance, and comfort, but essentially they are the means of communication from God to man. When inspiration is not enough to clearly depict God's message to man, he will often employ a dream to convey his will. When a dream is not forceful enough, he will manifest his will through an open vision. And if that is insufficient, he may send an angel or perhaps even manifest his son on very special occasions. He will reveal himself. And for those of you who are reading along, we are on page 84. When men are capable of receiving revelation from God, let's see. Oh, dreams then are one of the stepping stones of communication from God to man. When men are capable of receiving revelations from God, they can then be directed, reproved, comforted, and warned or instructed, and thus have the assurance that when they are walking in the path that God's will wills them to follow. Actually, I want to talk about something real quick, a dream that I was given. It's a little bit bothers me, I guess, a little bit. Okay, but first I wanted to also say, okay, so if you want to have more dreams, hold on. Emmett, the boy. Yes, I'm going to go to work today, so. All right, so if you want to have more dreams, even just because you like to dream or have lucid dreams or anything like that, don't eat before bed. I mean, God can give you dreams whether you eat before bed or not. That's not a big deal, but your body, when you eat before bed, has to spend energy to digest the food that you have eaten. So instead of resting, so if you even just to get better sleep, so instead of resting and producing something called, I can't remember what the chemical is, but there's a chemical that the body produces which helps you to have better dreams, to unlock that dream state. Hi, Arius. He's like, Daddy, 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 Daddy. He wants to sit with me. Hi, Arius. Anyway, so if you want to have more dreams, don't eat before bed so your body can go into the state of rest that it needs to be in so you can actually get better sleep. So going to bed hungry is actually healthy for you. And your body will produce a certain chemical that will allow you to have better dreams. So one of the dreams, I've been given so many dreams that I just don't even know what to say, but there's one that is coming to my mind right now that I wanted to share with everyone. So in this particular dream that I had, I was running to and fro in the earth, back and forth, up and down, all over the earth, and I was trying to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. And nobody would listen. And this dream I had a long time before I ever started my radio shows or my ministry or anything like that. But I have been literally going to and fro on the earth as a truck driver all over North America for 25 years, I guess, except for the time I was on my mission. But then even then I was going, you know, all over the place trying to convert people and share my testimony and do all the things that I have been called to do. Even before I knew who I was, these are the things that I did. And very, very, very few people actually listen. So in this dream, as I was doing this labor, I was looking and the earth was barren. There was dead trees everywhere. And I looked and I saw the eye of God upon the earth. And I knew that the coming of our Savior was imminent upon the face of the earth. And so I looked and I saw this large mountain that was completely granite rock. The whole mountain's granite rock. No trees on it at all, but a very, very strong, firm foundation. And I climbed and I climbed and I climbed and I climbed. And as I got to the top of this granite mountain, I looked to the east, and above the eye of God, I saw the Son of Man coming in all his glory. And I was just thinking just now that this is exactly what has happened in my life. I have been shouting from the rooftops, and few people have actually heard or care to listen. I am happy that I have over 5,000 friends and followers on Facebook and thousands and thousands of people in my groups. Lots of people know who I am. And, you know, like last night, somebody actually asked me, you know, he said, people say that you are this person, this witness, and you claim to be the witness of the Father. So people are listening to the point where there's like, it's like with the city of Zion, that there's a wild man among them, but relatively few people actually give heed to my word. To my witness. A lot of people think that I'm crazy. And they just cast these things off as a thing of naught. Now, some people are like, oh, you can't talk about those things because it's too sacred. That means that you're a false prophet. Okay. Okay, that was a construct of the LDS Church, that it's too sacred to talk about certain things. Now, there is a little bit to that, because Joseph Smith told the missionaries not to talk about certain things because people weren't ready for it. And he only did that because he was concerned with their welfare and their safety. And I used to be like that, too. Like, from 2003, from my experience with the Father and the Son, to 2013, I didn't share my experiences too much with other people because it was too sacred to talk about. Get him out of here, and you made him cry, so you pick him up and you take care of him. Go get a drink. You can get away from me. Oh my gosh. Get out of here. I'm going to throw something at you, boy. The 15-year-old made the baby cry, and then he brings him in here next to where I'm trying to do the radio show. Like, oh, drives me nuts. Anyway, get him out of here. Emmett, there is a metal straw in that cup over there on top of the dollhouse. Anyway, I used to, like, keep these things to myself. In fact, I found, please go get the cat and get the cat out of here, too. I don't know what is going on. Why do people have to be stupid? Will you hear him screaming? I need to go back to sleep. I'm ornery. I'm tired, too. Anyway, but so I pretty much kept these things to myself. And, like, if I did talk about, because I wanted people to know that God does appear to men in the flesh, but I didn't want people to know that was me. So I would talk about, like, I had this website called Latter-day Visions. And I would compile all of these different things that people have claimed to experience. And on this website, I actually posted a YouTube video, like in 2008, I think it was, about a person that I knew, a man in Christ above 13 years ago, whether in the flesh I cannot tell, or whether out of the flesh I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven. So that's actually Paul talking about himself in the third person, talking about an experience that he had where he was caught up into the third heaven. That's in the New Testament, by the way. So I was like, okay, well, Paul did it, I'll do the same thing. So I knew a guy who experienced these things, and I want to share with you the things that he experienced. But I would never tell them that was me, because these things are too sacred to talk about. But in 2013, God told me certain things face to face as I spoke with him after he said, kneel down, and this is January of 2013, kneel down before me and ask me who you are. He'd been trying to tell me through the voice and the whisperings of the Spirit, and I was like, that's so crazy that this must be Satan trying to influence me, and I am not going to listen. I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. And then God went to my aunt with an angel. Hold on. I don't know what's going on, but my